There are things that occur in life that just take us by surprise. It lets us know how little control we have over so much. And there are times when we come to full realization that we have no options short of turning to God. I think this is set out in a scripture that speaks of the end time. Because I cannot think of a time when it will become more prominent or prevalent in a person's life of how much they need God than in those days when we realize that we are in our final moments. That will be a day for all of us when the judgment occurs. Jesus was talking about just such an occasion when his disciples decided to investigate a little more deeply and ask him some questions. In Matthew chapter 24, and once again, I want to thank Brother McLemore for doing such a fine job of reading that scripture, but I'd like to invite your attention back to that scripture for just a moment as we attend to set the backdrop for the thoughts that we want to present to you on today. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 3, the Bible says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" You get from that statement what must have taken place prior in the conversation. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquake in divers places." Folks, as I read that, I'm already hearing about all these things. All these things are happening. In my opinion, there's not a whole lot left that must happen before Jesus returns, and so we must be aware and live like he's right around the corner, on his way back, for indeed, he's coming again. But let me bring it back to this moment for you, if I may. Would you agree with me? Time is moving swiftly. It seems like the older I get, the faster the time moves. Yeah? I know that there are 24 hours in every day, and that I have the same 24 hours each and every day as does a young person, but it seems like the young people are complaining that time is moving too slowly, and I complain that time is moving too fast. The one thing that is common between me and the young person is that with each day, Judgment Day is one day closer than it was yesterday. Jesus spoke the words of our lesson text over 2,000 years ago. And from that time until this, it's been our responsibility to get ready for when the final day comes. Now, I know your plate is full. I know you have a lot of things that's important to do. But your primary responsibility is we need to be getting ready for that day when the final day finally arrives. Even with the knowledge that Judgment Day will eventually come, the world seems to be moving farther and farther away from God. Being a guilty distance from God, y'all, is the same thing as being lost. You know that, right? Be assured, being lost is not what we want, and neither is it what God wants. Being lost only pleases the one who desires to see souls lost. I don't have to tell you who that is. So what is God's plan for saving souls? What is his plan for all these souls that are in jeopardy? All of us who sit here day by day working out our own salvation in fear and trembling, what does God have planned? Well, let me tell you something that you've heard before, And if you've been around here any time at all, you can probably remember hearing me say that God intends for a godly man to join himself to a godly woman and raise godly children. Not the first time you've heard that, is it? So if this system were followed, and here's the reason why God wants that, if that system is followed, then God's kingdom would be expanding exponentially. It'd be multiplying, not just adding, it would be multiplying. Also, the world that we live in would be becoming a better place to live. People would be improving in their conduct and their treatment toward each other. Doubtful am I that you could find anyone who would honestly say that this world is getting better and that people's conduct is getting better. That just does not seem to be the way that it's going. In fact, we have good reason to say that the world is getting worse day by day. That's coming from somebody who's been around long enough to see a lot of changes. As the world turns, things are moving in a specific direction. As the world turns, it seems that people are moving farther and farther away from God. As the world turns, we come to a stronger understanding that we must use our time and our energy to bring things back to where they should be. They're not where they should be right now, folks. Now, Gladys Knight said, for the young folk, these will one day be the good old days, and they will be. But you know, they're not really as good as they could be. They're not good as they should be. They're not where they should be. And we ought to act that way. We ought to live like things are not just going to be all right if it's left on automatic pilot. We need to use some energy to try to bring some things under control. Changing the direction of the world may seem like too large a job for a few people who attend the local congregation. But remember that the same road that brought us to this place can carry us back again. We arrived at this place by way of one day at a time journey. We didn't just wake up and found things this way. It got this way one day at a time. One might say that we have problems in our spiritual house. Folks, we got some cracks in the wall. And there's no denying that we have cracks in our spiritual wall. You've probably seen that old Shan commercial, if y'all watch any TV at all, a commercial with former baseball great Nolan Ryan. He asked a couple, how long are you going to live going with that crack in the wall? Anybody seen that commercial? See, he could have just simply told them that they should go and fix the crack in the wall. But he realized that that was not going to get to the root of the problem. He said that they had a foundation problem. If the foundation is faulty, then the problem will persist. Folks, if we're going to repair the cracks in our walls, we're going to have to start at the foundation and get some foundational things corrected. As I mentioned a moment ago, the family is the foundation of God's plan for man's salvation. Obviously, there is a foundation problem when 50% of all marriages, and that include Christian homes, end in divorce. And then a great number of that remaining 50, now think about this, 50 end in divorce, and a great number of the 50 that remains are staying in marriage because of other reasons, not because they want to be married. They're staying in marriages that are bad because of children and finances and because it's convenient. And then when we think about the other fact that about 72% of African-American children grow up in one parent's home, folks, there's some cracks in the foundation. I know that one parent can get the job done, but they sure can't do it as well as two. Folks, even with two, it's a boatload of work. And so God put things in order, and when we see them going the other way, it isn't God's doing. It's Satan's doing, and he's trying to disrupt the foundation of God's plan. The family actually is being redefined. It's being redefined by the courts. The courts now recognize two men as a family or two women as a family. And the media is sanctioning that stuff. And you know what? Just because people have gotten used to it and now accept it has not changed the fact of what's right and what's wrong. God intended to be the family to be a certain way. People are worried about what's coming out of the White House. Folks, we need to be worried about what's coming into our house. How important is the foundation? Well, let's revisit that thought. How important is the foundation? See, we must accept the fact that we can't build for the future generations on a foundation that's not suitable for a chicken coop. In Genesis chapter 1, God establishes the family under his authority. Now, I want you to let that thought sink in. God established the family, and he did it under his authority. In verse 27 of chapter 1, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And then he gave them instructions. So God created them first, but he just didn't make them and then say, go for what you know. He made them, and then he gave them instructions. In verse 28, God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." See, God said something that shouldn't be missed. He said that we were made in his image. When I say image, I'd like for you to picture a mirror, if you would. Then I want you to picture that when God looks at us, he's expecting to see himself just like we expect to see our image when we look in the mirror. First of all, God is triune. Here's one of the similarities. God is triune. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all in one. Brothers and sisters, we're triune as well. We are body, soul, and spirit. But rest assured, God did not make us gods. He made us suitable for receiving his blessings in a way that none of the other creation can. He made us special, but we're not gods. So we need to think for a moment it's all about the Creator and the created. God made us. Then he wrote out an operator's manual for us. He made it crystal clear as to our operating parameters. If we operate by the specs of the manual, then we will all be what we should be. If we get broken, then we need to turn to the manufacturer. If we're living in a broken society, then we need to turn to the one who can fix it. If we're living in a broken home, we need to turn to the one who can fix it. If we're living in a broken anything that has to do with life and spirituality and eternity, we need to turn to the one who is in control of all of that. See, if we get broken, that we need to be fixed. We get into trouble trying to fix ourselves. And here's the reason why. Y'all know we can't fix what we can't make. If we can't make ourselves, we certainly cannot fix ourselves when we're broken. We can't fix yesterday, but the manual can tell us how to work on today so that tomorrow will be all right. Why was the family created? I'm back to that question again. Why was the family created? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that it's so that we can rule. The family was created so we can rule or have dominion over. Verse 26 said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, like after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." See, many people believe. Now, this is where the devil takes advantage of the way we think. See, I've been talking to people, and I talked to someone recently, and they're so confused right now. They don't know what to believe, and it's because they're trying to figure out life based on their limited ability to think. Folks, you can't figure out life based on how you see and what you can figure out. A lot of people believe that the primary focus of life should be on how to make yourself happy. How many people in here believe that your number one priority ought to be making yourself happy? See, the goal is not just happiness. Happiness is a benefit that comes from ruling over. God has given us all the beautiful things, and those beautiful things can render us or give to us happiness if we use them right. And so God put us over these things, and happiness comes from our ruling over these things, just as God has prescribed. The problem comes when we believe that happiness is the goal. When one fails to find happiness in any given moment, guess what happens? They quit. They say, this wasn't what I expected, so I quit. You ever been on a job, seen anybody on a job, they walk in and work a couple of days and say, this wasn't what I expected, I quit. Same thing happens in families. Two people get married, after they've been together for a little while, this ain't what I expected, I quit. You see, that's because they're looking for happiness, and happiness comes because you're doing God's will. They think it ought to be the other way around. I'm going to get happy, then I'll find God's will. The goal is to rule on God's behalf. When this doesn't occur, then chaos and confusion ensues. We're expending a lot of energy without a legitimate objective. When you live... Somebody in here know what I'm talking about. Somebody in here feel like you've worked all your life and you go to work every day and you're right where you were at the beginning of the week. Somebody in here feel like you have spent a whole lot of energy, a whole lot of time doing a whole lot of stuff and it's gotten you nowhere when it comes to being satisfied. Somebody, and I don't know who you are, but if you know who you are, you can talk to me afterwards if you want to. But I want to tell you why it's that way. Your life will be empty if your principal search is for how do I make myself happy. And I'm not against being happy. I think all of us ought to be happy. But what I think is that we get so consumed in trying to find happiness that we forget the important stuff. We forget that this happiness that we have is based on happenstance, and it's going to come and it's going to go. What we need is the joy that comes from knowing that we're saved eternally. That's where our search should be. People are going against the system, is what I'm trying to say. God's system is designed to bring us back to the perfect life that was lost in Eden. In 1965, and I'm old enough to remember that very clearly, in 1965, Lyndon Johnson proposed to build the Great Society. Anybody remember that besides me? Trillions of dollars were spent with the idea of what this great society could be. Although the intentions were good, what's actually happened was that it encouraged people to turn to culture or to society for the answers. And what they did is they left the manufacturer when they turned to society. They left the manufacturer out. God intended for man to lead under his authority. But culture has pushed man out of his role. Whenever man is pushed out of his role, the devil is invited in. Does this make any sense to anybody? Why we have so many things that's fallen so short right now? Man has been pushed out, the devil has come in. That's why it happened. And if we can find out, if we can figure out what happened to us, maybe we can figure out what we need to do about it. Let's get one thing straight. Man isn't instructed to rule if he isn't under the submission of God. Brothers here at the church, love y'all. Y'all wonderful brothers. But you know, I trust that you're ruling over your house. And that's the way God intends for it to be. But if you're not in submission to God, you don't have any business ruling over your house. God gave you that family for you to operate the way he wants you to. And a lot of people mess up trying to make their own rules as they go along. Man's job is to enforce what God has put in place. When he does this, then there should be no problem with women submitting to men. You see, what happens is we come into this great conflict because we're going around in circles, and our women are watching us go around in circles. And they say, well, if I follow him, I'm going to be going around in circles too. But you see, God does not lead a circular pattern for us. He leads us in a way that's leading to him. And if we are following him, I don't believe there'd be any reluctance at all for our women folk to follow us, because they'll know that we're on the right path by following him. So many people want to do it themselves. Men, we have a lot of responsibility on us, and I admire your strength and our strength for standing up under the toughest of times and making sure our families are taken care of. And sometimes we get so preoccupied with that, we think we're doing it ourselves. But the fact of it is, when we follow God, here's what it said in the Bible, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything that we want will come, brothers. All we have to do is follow God. But a lot of people abandon God to go seek the way themselves, and that's where you get in trouble. The devil deliberately tries to reverse the roles. Let me give you an example. Eve came to Adam one day and said, eat this. And of course, apparently, Adam said, yes, dear. Adam knew what was right. And so why did he do what he knew to be wrong? It's because he forgot who was in charge of ruling over the family. Genesis instructs mankind to be fruitful. Most people think that what that is meant by that is that we're supposed to have babies that look like us or look like them. That's not at all what it means. God expects us to have babies that look like him. You see, if we could get out of our own way, if we could stop looking at us, you know, we make a pretty small package. If all there is in the world is us, we get in our own way. If we could get out of our way and see God, oh, what an abundant life we'd have. God wants us to have babies that look like him. See, we're to fill the earth with children that are God's look-alike, not so much our look-alike. If our children go to any corner of the world, what should happen is God's image should be wherever they end up. That's our job. Our job is to shape them into God-like creatures so that wherever they go, the blessings of God will go with them. All of us in here who have children, we have mixed emotions. We can't wait for them to get out the house. Lord, I'll just be glad when you get old enough to get out the house and get on your own. You ought to leave early. That's why you still know everything. And then the other side of the coin is that we are scared to death of what they're going to do when they get out there. We sit back and we say, I didn't know what they were going to do when they were at home under my authority. Now that they get out there and they don't have any rules over them, Lord only knows what's going to happen to them. So we got mixed emotions. But the way that you remedy that is you take them while they are still malleable. You got to start early. You got to start early. You got to put some things in them that become automatic. They need to know that God is a priority in your life by the way that you live your life. They need to know that God is not optional because you never made him optional. You never chose something else over him when it was time to choose him. And when you start early, they will incorporate that into their being. And whether they're with you or whether they are not, God will always be a guiding force in their lives. Folks, I am by no means trying to stand here and blame anybody for the way the kids are today. Our kids are great in so many aspects. Oh, they're so smart. I tell you what, if it wasn't for a child, I'd probably missed out on some mighty important stuff. because when we were traveling on the last cruise, Barbara kind of inadvertently left the passports, and you can't go to a foreign country without a passport. But they would let us take a picture of our birth certificates and then get on the boat with that if we could get a picture there. Well, she spoke with Art because she was still at home at our house, and she went and got the passports, and she took pictures of it. But she didn't know how to get the pictures sent to us. So I got on the phone, and I said, go to the front door. Stop the first child that you see. Anybody below 40 is going to be able to help you. And she went and found a kid, and next thing you know, we're on the boat. Our kids are smart. And I'm thankful for smart children. And kids, y'all keep on being that kind of smart. But the thing that we need to do is we need to step our games up, because the competition to develop our kids into what they need to be is much stronger than it's ever been. They've got so many other influences out there. They got so many other things to look at. They got so much exposure that this stuff is what we give them is in a teaspoon, and what the world's giving them is in a corn scoop. And we need to make sure that our children are ready to go into the world. And when they go, wherever they go, God is made known to that part of the world because of them. When you miss that critical fact, and all that you're looking for is happiness apart from God. But there'll be no happiness because your personality will get in the way. When you search for happiness in and of yourself, you ain't gonna find it. You're going to get in the way. Your personality is going to get in the way of you finding happiness. Your background is going to get in the way of you finding happiness. Where you came from, how you grew up, what you look like, all these things will get in the way of you finding happiness alone. The weakness of your flesh will get in the way. You'll be trying to do right, and the devil will find that weak spot in your flesh, and he will draw you away from God because your flesh is weak. Your imperfect thinking will get in the way. You know, there's so many facts out there. People want to still try to figure out how this little tiny grain of energy one day exploded into everything that we now know as the universe. There's one fact that they cannot explain yet. How can you make something out of nothing? How can you make life where there is no life? Folks, nobody has designed an eyeball yet. Nobody has designed an eyeball yet. Where'd they come from? There is a God. And we are walking, living evidence of his providence toward us. And when we start trying to figure it out and put answers on it ourselves, we don't do anything but mess up. Folks, we're all living with a curse. The simple fact of it is we're living with a curse. Because we're living in a fallen and cursed world, we're subject to fall victim to this curse. Because of the departure from God's plan, we're going through the curse. Right now, each one of us is dead in the middle of the curse. We're in the broken family curse. We're in the divorce curse. We're in the rebellious children curse. We and the men who are not men and the women who are not women curse. All because the created have gone to culture and left the manufacturer out. Culture will dismiss all of this as being the way that the world is now. They'd like for you to think that there's a new normal. But folks, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But one fact remains: God has not moved. If the world turns away from God, guess who loses? God is the one who gives all good and perfect gifts. Where will you be is the question as this world keeps turning. Where will you be? What we all must find, what we all must do is turn to God. I understand how people have deluded us into thinking that they're that smart. Our thoughts right now is if somebody was to attack the United States right now, we're smart enough to fight them off. You know, we've seen so many movies. There's always a hero that stopped the United States from going through. Well, they weren't there on 9/11. Folks, man is in a bottle, and that's as far as his thinking can go. But God has the answers to all the questions that are important to us. And we need to turn to him. So where are our problems today? You know where yours is. And I can tell you where your answer is. It's with God. Whatever you are facing right now, your answer rests with God. There are some things going on that's pretty tough. The answer's still with God. And what we have to do is put God back on the throne of our lives. We have let other things ascend to that throne. You know how I know? Because they tell us what to do. And we are servants to the master that we obey. God is good, and he's worthy of our trust, and we should submit to him. But there are a lot of people wrestling with that question right now. So if you have not obeyed the gospel right now, what are you waiting on? Some people say, I'm waiting on getting straightened out. Well, you never will be coming then, because the reason you need to come is because you're crooked. Because you are out of whack. God is in the business of straightening them out. He's kind of like the fishing partnership. You catch him, he clean them. He cleans us by our lives, and we can't do it without him. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ask you today to do that. Come to him, understanding that God is a God of salvation. The life that you live right now is only a speck of what we can have if we surrender to him. You come to him hearing the word, believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be God's son, and putting him on in baptism for the remission of sin. God will then add you to his church. If you are a member of the church and you've not lived a life that is representative of a child of God, we ask you today, ask God's forgiveness. He will forgive you. He looks forward to forgiving you. We'll pray together, and I assure you, you can leave here without the burden of the sin that you placed on your own shoulders. If you have other concerns, and there's a lot to pray about, our God hears our prayers. I'm certain of that. I have been beneficiary of prayers, of answered prayers on many occasions. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, why don't you come right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.